Hello, welcome, and thank you for listening. This is episode 23 of Crippled System, your favorite podcast.
That was pretty good. I'll take it.
I thought we were
and I'm Brian.
Everyone's least favorite podcast.
Everyone's yeah. least favorite podcast. Crippled System, shit on a stick.
Isn't that what
which
you're
is
just
kind,
eating?
Which is
them
kind of what a fudgesicle looks like. Mm.
It looks like, but if shit tasted like fudgesicles.
To Malcolm, it does.
Yeah, Malcolm's a big fan.
He likes them in winter.
Malcolm likes them all times of the year.
I downloaded the Berserker for Borderlands 2, and I set up my character, and one of the starting outfits is called Poop Train Conductor. Nice. And I'm like, I don't care what it looks like, I'm always going to be a poop train conductor. That's the funniest thing ever.
Are we going to finish our intros?
I'm Katie yeah. Circle. I play Circle. Bad horse on the forums.
I'm a circle.
I'm the Katie Circle. You have a circle. I am Jeremy, Valiant 418 on the forums. That one took a minute to settle in, apparently. Like, everybody just kind of it went, and then it hit.
Why is it circular?
I don't understand.
It's not supposed to be a circle.
It's not?
Anywho, Jeremy, Valiant 418 on the forums, and I play Rhett in Legion.
I'm Andy. I play Trollbloods. And Mountain Kings.
Yes. I am known sometimes as Brian, and I play Crix.
You got two intros.
I know, yep, but before I was just Brian, now I'm Brian who plays Crix.
That's true.
Before it was a Brian who plays Scorn, but now it's a Brian who plays Crix.
You have two different people inhabiting the same body.
You're like Harvey and Scary Face?
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm Nathan, and I play unplayable crap.
You do.
It's funny because it's true.
How you like?
Thank you for the
friends.
Dice. Spoiler.
It's funny because I saw your comment on our twat that you were angry
on our circle.
on our twat.
the tweets.
Yeah. It just sounded. Oh, man.
That you could see the murder because you'd just done something ridiculous.
I had...
Like, when I originally saw the photo, I was like, oh, that's just the normal look he gives Brian.
Can't both be true? Can't my default Brian facial expression be, I'm going to kill you?
I took multiple pictures and I chose that one for a reason.
I feel like that one was a good one.
Thank you.
I did not possibly drift to AoE Rockhammers into Targ. Possibly either right before or right after that picture.
Right before it. Yeah, you, like, shot four AoEs. They all were out of range, and they all drifted, like, homing missiles directly to important things, and then you'd roll boxcars damage to kill them. It was
well,
good times.
Aren't those what Andy's AoEs always do?
Yeah, that's what Andy's AoEs always do, and that's why I'm always so happy when I play games against Andy with AoEs.
Happy is a word. I'm not sure if you're using it correctly.
Yeah. Well, he's been playing a lot of gibberish with friends, so his understanding of the meaning
gibberish
of words
with acquaintances.
Has drifted.
Those people aren't my friends.
look at the look you're making for Katie.
Katie looks sad.
Friend is a subset of acquaintance. What the hell are you doing over there?
I'm also trying curious. To get comfortable.
How's that working out for you?
God.
I think I managed it.
She's having a problem with a circle.
Oh, my God. Pants in your pants?
We're not friends?
No, see, there's acquaintances and a subset of... There's a Venn diagram, Katie. Okay, and there's acquaintances, and there's people that I can actually tolerate, and where they overlap is friends.
But you said you didn't play Friends.
I didn't say it's not called Words with Friends, it's Words with Acquaintances, because all of
no,
are
no,
gibberish
with acquaintances.
Because everybody in that I play that with is an acquaintance. A subset of them are also friends.
That's not what you said. That's
I also
fine.
Didn't specify whether you were in that subset
he did
or not.
I feel like we might be drifting just slightly.
You're right.
No, that's fine.
According to Katie, the next topic is ice cream.
Does that mean we all get ice cream?
And Star Trek.
Because I like ice cream. Ooh, Star Trek.
We actually all saw Star Trek.
We all saw Star Trek. Are we going to have
our listeners see Star Trek?
Well, should we give a spoiler alert
we can
right
all
now?
Give letter grades.
John! So, 30 seconds ago, spoiler alert.
If you are listening to this podcast and you haven't seen Star Trek already, fuck you.
It was pretty good. Semi-valid
point.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I would say if you are listening to this podcast, you're interested in Star Trek and you haven't seen it now's an excellent time to pause our podcast.
It came out on Wednesday. They're going to listen to this on Monday. Well, actually, Andy will forget to upload it till Tuesday, so they really have till Tuesday.
It'll be uploaded, probably. I could maybe even have it up tonight.
I give people the weekend.
Just to spite you.
I give people, I won't talk about a show I
see
on Friday.
Yeah, you get Friday and you get the weekend, yeah. And then all bets are off.
Because obviously people are busy, so whatever point of the weekend is good enough will work. Yeah. But by Monday, fuck you.
So I watched it like on Friday or Thursday, and then Andy, Jim, and I watched the other one like a couple days ago, and I stand by the fact that I don't hate the new one, but it's like a B, maybe a B+, and the other one was like an A+. I love it.
See, but here's my thing about that. Origin stories are so much easier to do well.
I think they're usually harder to do well.
I would argue that it gives you so much leeway.
I think when you do an origin story right, it's always exceptional.
Yeah.
But it's easy to do wrong.
Correct.
That is true. But
I won't disagree a bad origin story.
Oh, God, yes. I did not think that was a good origin story. And I think Thor's amazing. So.
Thor was my least favorite of the Marvel tie-in, the Avengers tie-in movies until Iron Man 3.
Well, but let's backstep because you're forgetting Hulk and then the Hulk.
Those don't count. No,
because then there was a third Hulk, thank God. But there was a Hulk in the North.
What? There wasn't a third Hulk.
There were three Hulks.
No. The there Avenger. Was the Ang Lee one, and then there was the Jim Norton one.
Right.
And then
Jim Norton.
Sorry, Graham Norton. So there's the Graham Norton one. Oh, and Kevin Norton?
No.
Jim Norton. It's not Jim or Graham
Norton. Edward
Graham
Norton.
Edward Norton.
Yes.
Graham Norton's good. For our British listeners.
Graham Norton.
I love Graham Norton.
Guy.
He's not even he's a talk show host.
I like how
no,
you're
no,
like...
No, not Graham Norton. The first one that you mentioned.
Jim Norton?
Jim Norton.
Yes.
Yeah. No.
Did they not do a new one with the new guy that's the Hulk?
No.
No.
That was called Avengers.
Yes.
Oh, I guess it was. You're right.
Yeah. So, yep. I don't even count the Hulk movies as being the same thing.
Yeah.
The Incredible Hulk, it fits in there. It's in that same phase one part of it.
But anyway, they did the Hulk stories really bad.
I don't think it was
opinion.
Actively part of the Avengers.
They did. I didn't
Incredible?
Like...
Incredible? You didn't like Incredible Hulk?
I actually liked the Ang Lee Hulk one a lot of the time. It's too long and some of the scenes shouldn't be there and the
cloud
whole thing
cloud villains don't... I'm never a fan of any kind of cloud villain.
But a lot of the individual action scenes, like him with the tanks and stuff like that,
were really well done.
Really
well done.
Special and effects, I actually... Yes. A lot of people disagree, but I like the fact that it was more about Banner and less about the Hulk.
And I'm okay with that. No. And I would agree that...
See, Andy disagrees.
I completely disagree because the Absorbing Man is not Hulk's dad. Well, and Hulk's dad didn't inject him with a bunch of super serum to try to make him into a
right.
It's just
that's why I like Iron Man 3. That's more about the character than it is about Iron
MacGyver.
Man.
Yeah. I like MacGyver. I'm glad he got a movie.
Yeah, I like that.
I have to admit, after watching the Avengers, I was curious how they could do another Iron Man movie that wasn't just any villain you put up against me is a clown.
And so they made a movie where the villain was literally a clown.
Where he was a clown because they were just like, and you don't get your suits, and go.
And Star Trek is pretty good too.
And I like the new Star Trek, but I'm not disagreeing that I think the first Star Trek was probably better. I think part of why it was better is because it was an origin story, and I think there's a lot of build up. I think they did, and Brian already coughed this
had
out.
Had a better villain too.
I think
Eric Bana's villain. Nero was amazing.
Nero was really really well done, and the problem with is that he was done so well already,
right?
That the measuring stick for that is just phenomenally high. And I'm not saying that the guy they got did it badly, because he was pretty good.
Yeah.
But he will always be measured up to the movie that already happened that was better.
Right. And they kept putting more stuff that was the same as the movie that
already
happened better.
Well, they kept referencing it, and they kept
Reference, man. That was literally, let's take 20 minutes of that movie and put it inside of our
movie. They left out one line.
Okay.
I have been and always shall be.
Yeah.
But that's because it wouldn't make no sense in context because they've known each other like a month and a half.
Right.
Well, at this point, he's been there for because he was in the Starfleet thing for 3 years before he became captain. So he had
didn't really know each other until he cheated at the very end of the movie.
So they've only known each other from the first movie on.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, it's probably been
maybe a year.
Yeah.
Maybe.
There was a time frame. I think it was a yearish.
Yeah.
But my point is they haven't known each other that long.
Well, even Nathan, he's like, it's a BB+, and that's not exactly a negative review. I mean, that's
it's a good movie.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
I
enjoyed it.
I recommend you go see it. In fact, I may go see it again. I really liked it.
I'm saying temper your expectations. I didn't think it was that amazing.
Well, it confused me because, and Jeremy reminded me of this, is that it was following a completely different timeline than the one suggested in the originals.
Yeah.
It's
weird to me. Here's what's weird to me, and you've probably already poked holes in this because I know you have your plot holes. How did they find him prior to the point in time where the 5-year mission started, which was when they found him? Did his ship go drift off course because of Nero?
Because of the threat of Nero, they were more actively searching out for things, was the movie's explanation.
Yeah.
Like, they did say that in the movie. Sense.
It feels like a reach.
Yeah.
No.
Space is big,
but they know.
And the whole point
of
that 5-year mission was they were way the fuck out where no one could reach easily. Yeah. And they're clearly still doing a 5-year mission to go way the fuck out where nobody can reach easily.
Well, maybe somebody did like a 2-year mission.
Well, they didn't have to.
It's possible that they might have known where he was.
The other thing is they do say it's been about a year, and how the fuck did they have time to find him and do all that technology in a year?
Well, but I think that since it's on a different timeline, right? Maybe they found him 4 or 5 years ago on a different timeline.
But that makes no sense.
No, it can because Nero appeared.
Nothing happened differently till Nero, and Nero happened a year ago.
No, Nero happened 20 years ago.
The first time.
Yeah, Nero showed up 20 years ago.
Yeah, Nero came and basically destroyed Kirk's dad's ship.
Right.
Yeah.
Which I guess does change things.
Yeah.
Yeah. That whole everything there is from that point on has changed.
But I mean that.
It feels like a plot hole to me.
That's a weak justification for the plot, which isn't necessarily the same as a whole. Like it's kind of like just accept it, so we have a movie,
and then
and those on. I allow. MacGuffins are always force fed because you need a MacGuffin.
Well, and here's the thing. My problem with using that villain is if you used up. So let's talk about the new Batman movies, the new trilogy, the third Batman movie. How did you feel about it?
Is the weakest of the three.
And it followed the main villain's introduction to the storyline in two. Joker is to Batman as is to Kirk.
Right.
He just is. Anything after that is going to suffer by comparison, or the movie's going to fall flat because you don't do the main villain justice.
Well, we need a Klingon.
They should have saved the main villain. That villain, they
should have
saved.
Well, now you can have a wrath of her.
Yes, you could.
But it
doesn't make any sense because he's a popsicle.
Well, but somebody can find
him
and then freeze
him. Sometimes things get unplugged.
Yeah.
Like it's not like Kirk's
or maybe
made
they'll
no
just
enemies.
Make up another new villain like they did for the other one, and it'll be good.
Okay, so and I'd be fine with that. I think that the next one should be the Klingons, because then you can have nameless Klingon number 37 who they get in war with, and you can kill him off, and you don't have to feel bad about it. And
it's probably what it'll be.
Yeah.
I liked about the movie was the character interaction was still what made that movie the strongest.
It was
for every weak point it had.
Everything
the
except
character,
when they send Uhura out of the ship, and it just feels contrived so she gets screen time. I agree.
Well, but still, I still like the interaction of the characters a lot, and that's a strength of the movie.
No,
but
it is.
And I miss like Star Trek 2, Star Trek 4, Star Trek 2 and 6 have some really fun space battles.
Yes.
And we haven't had any really.
Now, in both movies, we get the Enterprise versus a super mega ship. I want to see the Enterprise versus a regular ship and have some, you know, actual.
And not only Enterprise versus super mega ship, but Enterprise versus super mega ship, and the entirety of the combat is mega ship blowing the shit out of them.
Enterprise.
And then, you know, there's no actual combat tactics to it, whereas like in Khan and even Final Frontier, the tactics mostly consisted of dodging around while trying to figure out what to do about the superpower of the enemy ship. At least like the Reliant comes in as like a secondary target to distract
exactly,
it,
yeah.
And there's like some actual flight and tactics as opposed to just.
I mean, it's no Riker.
Boom,
maneuver,
boom, boom. But, you know. It's no Riker maneuver.
Wait, no, you can't always turn left.
Nathan and I were talking about how the Riker maneuver is basically a fancy way to turn left.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, because it is.
That's the Riker maneuver actually is how you sit in a chair.
That's the other Riker
maneuver.
Yeah.
That's a hilarious video on the interwebs.
I had no
idea. Just Google Riker plus chair.
I saw a new video today, which was 16 minutes of people saying no to Lieutenant Worf.
So it was
Worf being like, sir, I think we should go to yellow alert. No. Like, sir, we should raise our shields. No. That's all it was. It's right up there with the like 20 minutes of Worf getting his ass handed to him.
Which is pretty good.
Yeah, because they made the mistake. They're like, oh, Worf's our big, strong guy, technically. So if we want something to look scary, we'll have it beat up Worf. And then everybody's like, oh, this thing's
since
scary because it beat up Worf.
Constantly.
But since Worf gets beat up constantly, it's just like Worf's like this 90-pound weakling of the ship. Little old ladies come on and beat the crap out of him and take his lunch money.
They give him some oomph in Deep Space Nine because I've been watching that.
I just watched
the episode where they go back to the original Enterprise and they interact with
like Trials and Tribulations.
Yeah. It's such an amazing episode to see the Deep Space Nine cast interacting with the original Star Trek cast.
Yeah. And I've always liked, and I feel like they got underplayed in everything. I've really liked the Romulans. Like, I like their culture. I like the way they are as a bad guy.
Like the Remans from Nemesis? Is that a no? You did not like the Remans? If you're a Romulan, but you come from 50 yards that way,
then
you look
really
like a demon monster.
Yeah, you just look like you. You look like Satan shat you out of his butthole for some reason.
That's where they started the super mega ship thing too.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah,
I also enjoy the whole Space Nine episode when they're explaining or they try to ask Worf to explain
that's
why Klingons.
Episode.
Yeah,
it's
why
a,
Klingons.
It's a
look
private
that way.
Matter.
Yep.
We don't
Klingons
talk
what?
About it
because in the original Star Trek, series they just were people.
They're people with like, and they ask because Worf travels back in time with them and like, well, what's up with those Klingons? He's like, it's a personal matter. We don't talk about it outside.
Oh,
the
why
Empire.
they didn't used to have brows and stuff?
Yeah. And he's like, we don't talk about it with those fighters.
Southern Klingons, I think.
No, he never says that, which I thought someone had said that that's what it was. He just says, he's like, no, we don't talk about it.
That might have been us that said that.
That's pretty fantastic. So anyway.
I like that one episode of Deep Space Nine where Ivanova went, oh, wait, no, never mind. It's funny because Deep Space Nine and
Babylon 5
were the same show.
Except I don't watch Babylon 5.
Oh, Babylon 5. Yeah. Seasons 2 through 4 of Babylon 5 are fucking amazing.
I haven't watched Babylon 5. I watched episodes, but it didn't.
I watched a couple episodes of Babylon 5 and it never hit me.
Season 1 is horrible. Season 2 through 4 is pretty amazing.
Season 2 through 4 might be the best three seasons of a science fiction show ever.
I'll say it's very high up there.
Yeah, it's like season 1 exists to lay the groundwork, to introduce the characters, to introduce the universe. Right. And then 2 through 4 are fucking amazing. And then 5 is bad because they screwed him over.
And then they jumped the shark.
Well, no, he had a 5-year plan. He's like, I have written 5 seasons and this plot is going to take 5 seasons to do and it's very carefully planned out. And like at the end of season 3 they're like, dude, the ratings just aren't there, so you got one more season. So he took seasons 4 and 5 and crammed them together into one super season with all the drama and all the action and all the character development.
And they said,
it was amazing.
By the way, we have one more.
And they're like, oh, that was amazing. Your ratings were great. You'll get that 5th season after all. And he's like, I guess I'll just make a bunch of crap up.
I stopped that before.
I
was recommended. I was warned. Season 1, you're going to be like, what the fuck's happening? I'm like, wow, this is not good.
Yeah, it's C-minus mediocre, like CW sci-fi. Like, it's,
But season 2 on, suddenly it just starts clicking. It gets in its gears. You're like, holy shit,
it's
real.
Yeah. And the character's amazing. It's so good. Yep. Batman 5 is super good. And it is kind of funny that he Straczynski pitched it to Paramount and said, hey, again, I want to do this show. And they're like, no, we're not interested in that. And then 6 months later, they came out with Deep Space Nine, which was the exact same show.
Yeah.
He's like, hey, wait a second. They're like, no, fuck off. You can't prove it.
Yeah.
At least Deep Space Nine introduced. I mean, the thing about Deep Space Nine is it really goes into the Cardassians, which are pretty awesome villains, and it has whole Dominion aspect.
But I love Deep Space Nine.
Yeah, but no, I definitely understand the element.
You know, as opposed to Voyager.
The worst part of a Voyager is seeing how right other shows similar to it got it done. Like, if you watch Farscape, when that ship gets damaged, it stays damaged. It doesn't just get repaired from
Voyager,
episode to episode.
Out in deep space, it's just like, you know, I know we got shot up last week, but don't worry about it. We magically repaired the ship.
Like, that whole plot doesn't matter. Like, they might as well just be around the block. Like, their day-to-day episode struggles are no different than any other Star Trek show.
I really disliked the fact where everybody on that ship was needed in a certain position, so you have one person that breaks the prime directive. You're like, bad you. We need you to run this, so don't do it again.
Yeah, that does happen several times.
Yeah.
I dislike how if you go too fast, you turn into a lizard, and then have sex with the captain and make lizard babies, and then you turn back into a person.
I missed that one.
That's
thankfully.
The worst episode of Star Trek ever. It's great.
No,
they go,
I didn't
it's
make
literally,
it
they
Voyager.
Go too fast. Like, he invents, like, warp 15, and they turn into lizards. Not like lizard people like the Vorn or something, but actual like newts. And then they just have newt sex and lay eggs, and then they turn back into Janeway and what's his face.
Interesting.
Do
they hatch out of the eggs? That'd be great.
Like, no, I might have to watch the entire series to catch that episode.
I think it's called Changes or something. Like, it's universally reviled because it literally is, if you go too fast, you turn into a newt. That's the plot of the show.
We need to test a theory.
Why
up,
would
though.
You turn into a newt?
That's a good question. They say something about, like, backwards evolution, except we didn't evolve from newts in the first place, so that doesn't even make sense. It's not like they get poisoned or a wizard even does it. They just go so fast, they turn into newts.
That doesn't make any sense.
Most of the plot lines in Voyager made no sense.
Thank you, Rick Berman.
Hey, yeah. 7 of 9 made a lot of sense.
I enjoyed 7 of 9, but Voyager was an entire show of nothing but jumping the shark.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Sorry.
You got so rage, he just punched Katie.
No, she's got her foot in a weird spot.
It's in a weird spot, all right.
Back to ice cream. Fudgesicles are better than bomb pops.
I would argue that creamsicles are better than both.
Creamsicles are amazing.
So
I like fudgesicles.
I'll do here, and I know I'm just jumping out off the platform here, but I'm going to mark down the time they were just at, and I'll go back and make an announcement saying when you could skip forward to
point.
We didn't really actually have any spoilers.
We
nobody mentioned that it was
Khan.
Wait, it was Khan that was in the movie. Khan?
And it was Sherlock that played him, and Khan. I really enjoyed that acting.
Benedict Cumberbatch, which is the most British name in the history of mankind. You could try for a year to think of a more British name. The only thing you could possibly do would be to add a number at the end.
He is a pretty awesome actor, though. I really do appreciate it.
Well, it's kind of like the, who's the football quarterback?
Brett Favre.
No, the one in the replacements, where it's the he has the most football.
Oh, yeah,
Shane
yeah.
Falco. Yeah. Of the Shane Falco scale. Yeah. It's kind of like that. He has the most football name ever.
I was just watching a preview for some movie that's going to come out theaters soon called The Boys of Summer. And these kids decide they just want to, like, live in the woods, and then they make a fake kidnapping note to explain why they're gone and, like, not going home. And the guy signs it with some names, and he says he went to the Denzel Washington School of Fake Names, which was a black-sounding first name and then a state. So he had, like, Jaquan, Utah, and stuff like that. And his buddy's like, that's good, but horribly racist.
Nice.
And that line made me want to see the movie. So good job, trailer.
Good job for the trailer.
Trailers is such a fine line of saying, okay, I want to see it. I've seen too much.
No, now I know the whole story.
Hey, spoiler alert, they bring down an airplane in Fast and Furious 6.
Yeah, I love how that's like.
I hope that scene isn't dramatic in the film because I know how it ends.
Well, the thing about, I'll say in Fast 5, I'm seeing Fast 6 this weekend, but Fast 5, they show you the cars dragging the safe. Like, well, that's obviously going to be the final. But then you see it, like, but it's like 15 minutes of shenanigans. So they, like, well exceed the stupidity. So hopefully there's, like, five planes being brought down, and you only see one of them, and I don't know. But I do understand. I do agree that was kind
of
lame.
Oh, yeah. Andy brought up pictures of the newt. I think that's Janeway on the right and Paris on the left because they went too fast.
That's terrible.
And then they have newt sex and populate that planet.
Well, see, they're doing good, though. They're populating a planet.
Yeah,
do they talk like they really voices?
Which means I wish I was back to a human.
Or is it just an hour of newt speak?
It's like, oh, my God. It's like the Star Wars Holiday Special where it's like an hour of Wookiees and there's no subtitles or translations. So just Wookiees yelling at each other.
Or it could be
Galaxy Quest, the
alternate Galaxy Quest track.
I could do an entire podcast like that. Morvana.
Overpowered.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. I agree, Fermians.
Is that a segue? Do we just segue into our next topic?
Yeah,
sure. Did we accidentally segue?
Morvana segue, like pros,
well,
bitches.
Well, we had
it's on here twice because I wrote it down and then Katie wrote it down again.
Well,
the first one could be the tournament recap.
Yeah, we should probably recap the tournament.
Okay, so. Jeff won using Morvana. Ergo.
No. It's not just the Jeff won because, you know, that can happen. But the top finals
Jeff
table.
Jeff Winnie can happen. Hey, Jeff.
He was really excited. That was
he was. Jeff was very good.
He plays well in events.
Jeff does.
I'm not mocking Jeff's playing ability. I'm saying that's not the surprising part. The terrifying part. The terrifying part is that there were two circle players in the tournament, and the finals table was circle versus circle.
I do think that Danny didn't play Morvana a single time that day, though.
He played
Cromack all four rounds.
Did he?
Yes. So the fact that Morvana 2 was his other list was irrelevant.
Okay.
He is to Cromack as Keith is to Gatsby 2. Like, he doesn't play circle, he plays Cromack.
Okay.
Yeah, also, Danny was ridiculously lucky against my dual Mountain King list, which, for some odd reason, I decided to play. I didn't have a chance against Cromack with my Doom Shaper list. But no.
The tournament had 14 players show up, which was pretty good.
Yep.
Everybody got a coin.
Everybody did get a coin.
Yeah,
we had
a coin.
First through third coins, and I had a faction kit coin, and then with the 14 players, like that was like 11 people got coins out of that, and I had three extra coins.
Pity coin.
And I'm like,
sweet.
Everyone who hasn't won a coin comes around, so I started throwing coins out at everybody.
Yeah.
So everyone, which I normally don't like to give out coins. I'm very mean about that, but I'm like, I just have a pile of coins sitting around.
Well, you're going to have to buy new kits once Convergence comes out. Because you won't have Convergence coins,
exactly.
And there's going to
be
people playing Convergence.
So I'm trying to just liquidate my coins. I still have two or three more kits. I almost didn't have. You got lucky, Nathan. We actually, most of my kits don't have minion coins because some of mine are really old. So if we were gonna, the big joke was at the end of the day because you walk out of the room.
Yeah.
So we say, oh, and here the minion coin goes to Nathan. Oh, no minion coin.
Wah wah.
Which the way your day was going may not have been the best way to end it for you.
I mean, has to die eventually.
He might have rage quit the hobby and killed Brian simultaneously.
Well, he did win the $20. He did have the raffle.
Win the raffle. That's true.
I'm a very strong believer in giving out a raffle for fully painted armies.
I think it's good. I was really bummed because I had a fully painted list. Except I borrowed a Forsaken from Andy, and it was the only unpainted model in the
whole
list.
No, one of your Scythians wasn't...
No. I had two lists, one of which had several unpainted models, and Brian's requirement is one list fully painted. And the other list had everything painted except the one Forsaken I borrowed.
Maybe you should have painted up a Forsaken before the event.
Yeah, maybe
I couldn't find one to buy. I can't beg, borrow, or steal a Forsaken in Madison. I've asked
you borrowed one
in town,
just yesterday.
Well, okay, so I can borrow one. I can't beg or steal one.
You could have stolen the one you borrowed.
You pay for one.
I feel like Andy knows where I live. No, I've tried to pay for one. None of the stores in town have them. ACD is sold out, and they said that it could be weeks and or months until they get one in.
So just don't have a Forsaken in that list.
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. Jake Van Meter has a Forsaken in that list, so you have to.
Well, the problem is I've been really struggling with my Shepherds. Like, the fact that Shepherds have to be within 3 inches to pull the focus off, the fury off, it's, they die too easy. They have trouble keeping up with my beasts in most of my lists. Like, it's just a problem. And Forsaken from 8 inches away are just like, done. Problem solved. You know, and then they're also do something useful late game once I've lost some beasts.
I really have not had troubles losing my Shepherds at all.
I get my Shepherds killed off of Electro Leaps. I get them killed off of Magic Bullets. I
kill Shepherds. Look, it's my job. Fuck the Shepherds.
Well, because they have to be within 3 inches of a beast at the end of the turn if you want to pull Fury off with them.
Yeah, but if the beast they're within 3 inches of is like your two Ravagors, that doesn't mean they're very far up.
Andy's
looking like
I don't play double Ravagors.
Kid in a candy store here. What's your?
I so want to read this paragraph from the synopsis of that Voyager episode.
Go ahead. I support the go fast, turn into newt synopsis here.
It's just so retarded. The Doctor and Kes. It's just Act 3 of the episode. The Doctor and Kes begin using radiation to stop it with little success. Paris becomes delirious, asking for a huge funeral, saying that he doesn't trust anyone that doesn't cry, and remembers his childhood, when he used to cry in his room. He tells the doctor that he lost his virginity at 17 in his room, which the doctor say he'll note in Paris's medical file. I mean,
what?
Well, that could be comic relief. That was a funny scene. It's, you have the thick drama of newt transmogrification.
And then that.
You need to cut it with sex jokes.
Yeah.
And he exclaims that he wants a pizza with pepperoni and Kavarian olives. He wants a kiss from Kes, but she can't grant him that wish because of the atmosphere.
Oh, well, of course.
Before he dies, he makes a last request to tell his father that he did it. That's exactly where it ends there. And he tries to form another sentence, but falls unconscious.
So, see some of my friends who have said to the... to the alternate, the new Star Trek is not the worst thing to happen to the Star Trek franchise.
No, it's definitely not. Voyager was so bad. Like, even
I didn't even like 7 and 9.
I enjoyed looking at
it. I was a teenage heterosexual male, and I still did not care two shits about 7 and 9.
Really?
Meh. It was a plastic-looking standard blonde in a jumpsuit.
She's too old for makeup.
She was too old for you. She was too old for Nate. That's true. She still is.
And same with, like, T'Pol on Enterprise. What's-her-face? She is ugly, too.
I did not watch any of Enterprise.
I watched a few episodes. I think the problem was I still had the bad taste of Voyager in my mouth, so I'm not sure I gave it a fair shot. But.
The first season of Enterprise was very bad, and then, like, they fired everyone, and then it got good.
Season or two or three had an entire pretty sweet arc, which I watched. I was either season two or season three had an entire season arc, which was just... which was pretty fun to watch.
From Voyager into season one of Enterprise, you can see why I decided that I was going to just go back and watch Next Generation.
Although season one of that show isn't very good either.
No.
of Next Generation? Yeah. No, but I already know the characters, and so it helps.
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
I watched the first episode of Next Generation after that to try to like cleanse my palate, and I was like, the fuck was I smoking when I used to watch this show? And then I watched a few more episodes. I was like, oh, right, it gets better.
Once Riker grows his beard, then you're okay.
Once Tasha Yar dies.
Yeah,
I liked Tasha Yar's character, but the show did get a lot better after she left.
I did something to somebody that was kind of interesting.
You killed them?
Nope. Person has never seen Star Trek The Next Generation. I got him to watch the first episode of the... Encounter at Farpoint, and then immediately after that, watch All Good Things.
Oh, just God. Skip everything.
Oh my God,
that'd
be such
a mindfuck. 400.
So just, well, no, and they actually, it works really well as a sequel because all the things that happen Encounter at Farpoint is derived from in All Good Things.
It is.
Works out well, except for Tasha Yar is not in the last All Good Things.
And you're like,
Tasha, where did she go away? But yeah. I thought it was a neat experiment.
That is an interesting experiment.
And he likes the series still, so yeah. You know, I didn't ruin it.
Well, that's good. Yeah, it's a good show. I really enjoy Star Trek. My dad's an original series guy. My bag has always been Next Generation if I had to pick one, but I enjoy all of them except the last two that jumped the shark.
I grew up with Next Gen, obviously, because I'm not 60, so I didn't grow up with the original series. But the original series movies,
are so
one through
good.
Six, like I love the
four.
Trinity.
Two through four. Oh my
no,
god!
No, not just two through four. You have to include six. You have to go. Six
I like
is amazing.
Six, but two through, like, if you were going to pick three movies that follow each other in any trilogy series,
two, anything, three, six. I picked 2, 3, 6. Andy and I have had this conversation.
Four is my favorite.
2, 3, 4 yeah. is the Spock trilogy, where Spock dies, comes back and regains his humanity.
Right.
2, 3, 6 is the Kirk trilogy, where he finds his son, loses his son, and then comes to term with the loss
with
of his
loss
son.
With the loss of his son, yeah.
And I like... Maybe
and six,
six
is
I
the
like,
one with the Klingon ship that doesn't uncloak?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. The six is the one that is also the best movie ever made about the fall of communism. Which it totally is. It's about the Soviet Union crumbling and the West reaching out to it. Even as the Chernobyl disaster in there.
Yeah, it does.
And
2, 3, 4, 6 is my favorite trilogy.
Yeah. I mean, if you could do it. But he was saying picking three. But
yeah, I picked 3. 2, 3, 4, 6.
But the problem is 4 is my favorite of all time.
No.
Really is.
2 and 6 are both better than 4.
No.
4 is funny. 4 is the funniest. It's around
whatever.
4 is the
funniest, but it's so good.
2 and 6 are so... 6 is so good.
Displacement of characters in a different timeline is always...
Yeah.
Is usually good.
Yeah. I don't understand. You guys are forgetting the one with God.
What does God need with a starship?
And why does God have laser eyes but can be shot with phasers?
Because it's not God. It's something else entirely, obviously.
That whole episode, like, if I could just burn something out of history, like, I know Hitler, pretty bad guy. You know, there's been some bad things that have happened. But episode 5 is probably what I would choose to burn out of history.
Don't tell all the Jews that, though.
Jeez. I'm just saying, so you're comparing Star Trek 5 to Hitler.
I am.
8 million. How many million nerds died because of Star Trek 5? I mean, I'm sure a lot of them did die because of it. I'm not denying there has been death over both issues.
What
hurt the soul more? Listeners, please tell us what was worse, Star Trek V or the Holocaust.
I'm going to go on a
I don't want to hear their opinions. I'm scared.
I'm going to go on a slight horrible limb here and partially defend Star Trek V.
I thought you were going to defend the Holocaust.
Yeah, I was like, what?
Partially fair.
So we all know who wrote Star Trek V, and that was William Shatner.
Yes.
Some little things I ended up learning on trivia for that. That was originally Gene Roddenberry's idea, was the first episode of the motion picture was supposed to be the crew of the Enterprise finding God.
Really?
Yes.
Also, that movie got boned so hard in production. They got all their money taken away. They got all their scenes cut. They got their budget.
Maybe that's all true, but the problem is...
The final result is awful.
Yes.
So bad.
And at the same time as well, is right as their budgets is being sliced... There is the huge writer strike that happened at that time, and they couldn't get anybody to rewrite the ending.
And to defend the Holocaust, I mean, Hitler was slowed down from killing
that
more
was
Jews.
Gene Roddenberry's original idea was killing all the Jews.
So here's the thing about 5 that really bothers me is I actually like the opening scene with Kirk and Spock and McCoy at Yosemite.
Yeah.
And then the whole movie is just such a disappointment after that starting bit. Like, them around the campfire, Kirk climbing El Capitan or whatever it is.
The concepts in it I actually like. Like, if you just explain
the
plot synopsis.
The plot sounds so good.
Like, Spock's brother, the whole cult thing, the taking away the pain, like, all that stuff. And even the meeting God and like, that I can
spoil. The plot sounds so good.
It was mostly budgetary.
You were going to die alone, but, you know, you weren't alone. I kind of like that.
Yeah, I've always known I'll die alone. Well, you were never alone.
Yeah, I mean, I like that little. I mean,
that is. I mean, it's not Wrath of Khan with their hands up against the reactor window, but it's pretty damn good. I agree.
But it's surrounded by shit covered in goo that Malcolm will eat.
It does have some. It seems like that the dialogue was not written for the characters, that they were just saying them. They weren't like.
Yes.
Exactly what the characters would say.
Also, Uhura,
Scotty was awesome
a little
in that.
Too old for the fan dance.
A little bit old.
A little?
Like, no offense to Nichelle Nichols, but you were like 50.
A little?
I did enjoy Scotty in that film, though.
Scotty steals the show because the scenes that he's in are so funny and the rest of the movie is so bad that you're like, Scotty's amazing.
Yeah,
but then the Trinity, Kirk, Spock, and McCoy in Star Trek VI are all so good.
Yes.
Six is
really good.
Katie apparently doesn't give a shit about Star Trek. I've never seen someone care less about a conversation.
She wants to go more about talk about the Holocaust, I think, is really what really.
Are you not a Star Trek person?
Are you a Holocaust person?
When Jeremy and I first started dating, he made me watch the first like four movies.
I did.
You made her watch one? Way to put her off of Star Trek forever.
I started her with Wrath of Khan. She just doesn't know the numbers.
Oh, okay. All right. Oh. So did you do 2, 3, 4, 6?
We did 2, 3, 4, and she gave up on 4.
I want you off the podcast.
We didn't even finish 4. We didn't even finish 4.
If you guys are going to discuss Star Trek for the rest of the podcast, that's fine.
No,
I didn't mean this episode of it.
for the rest.
Katie saw all whales. Like, I'm out. Fuck whales.
No, like we didn't even get that far.
Speaking of something interesting.
We finished 4 because
woke up at the end of 4. Which is different.
That's because this is what happened.
Well, that's an interesting circumstance. You fall asleep at the very beginning of the movie. They're in a Klingon warbird and then they wake up and there's whales.
No, because I hear the sound, and I told him, I said, that's clearly whales. And then I was right. Those
yeah, at the very beginning,
whales.
At the very beginning, before Spock analyzes the sound or anything, they're just playing the weird noise through the speakers. She's like, that sounds like whales. I was like, the fuck it does. I mean, you're right.
Maybe if you're alive at that point when the probe comes, you can talk to him.
Yeah, you can fix the problem for us.
Okay.
You speak whale. That's a fucking turkey.
That's all I've got.
Hey, that's a whale above water.
Yes.
What?
No, they're this crows, is what the sound they're genetic was. Twins, whales and turkeys. They're essentially the same animal.
I can see that.
Yeah.
Turkey whale.
I'm just saying, this is supposed to be a War Machine podcast.
I'm just telling you right now, someone's broke the computer pressing the plus 15 seconds. He just smashes the fuck out of his computer. Why won't you guys get on
maybe
topic?
Maybe that guy likes Star Trek.
Hopefully. And then we've talked about Star Trek for like a half an hour.
The bigger problem with Star Trek 5 was there weren't enough Vorlons in it.
All right. So anyway,
the other thing, which is interesting about Star Trek,
that's for you, Brian.
The new timeline that they have.
Yeah. Oh, the new timeline.
What are they going to do when that probe comes to Earth?
Yep. Well, hopefully Spock will just fix the problem before it happens. He's going to be like, "All right, guys. So in a month or two, I'm going to disappear for a few days. Don't worry about it. I got it under control."
I just say he has like one of those meditative New Age CDs with whale song that he just has to relax to. Yeah. He's just going to mail them to the High Council and be like,
"Yeah, open this in case of probe."
Yeah. If water starts disappearing, play tape.
What's the next topic?
Jeremy's error.
That was our tournament summary.
Yeah. And our Morvana 2 discussion. Our all first right. chunk. Luckily, we have a second Morvana 2 discussion later.
Are we going to talk about the tournament at least a little bit?
No, there's something called Jeremy's error.
No, so, we don't need to talk about that.
It's really good. So, his mom put on Facebook that one of her tweets was used on a news channel because of like as part of the poll is like this signifies what people think, and I was like, oh, it's probably about the IRS thing. I was like, oh no, it's about Benghazi. And
so
to which
Jeremy
said,
who, Jeremy, can you tell us who Benghazi is? Benjamin Ghazi, what do you know about him?
Jeremy looks so sad right now. I mean, like, legitimately sad.
So Jeremy says he's some guy in Jerusalem, right?
I said Israel. I didn't want to get too specific.
Some guy.
It's like Benjamin Netanyahu, and then there's Benjamin Ghazi. And that thing was like Benghazi called Barack Obama one night and said, "Hey, I need your help." And that's what it's all about.
And Fox News got really mad about it.
We're going to have to get Jeremy a jersey that says crippled system in the front. On the back, it says Ghazi. 52.
Yeah.
And then says Benghazi.
Yeah.
And we need a map of the
If you make a t-shirt that says that, I will wear it to an event.
All right. I'm just going to spill the beans here. Benghazi is not a person.
So what is Benghazi?
Oh my God! I assumed you had taught him.
No, she forbade me from looking it up.
Oh man! If only we'd get him to take guesses. Benghazi, it's a place. It's a city.
Okay. Yeah.
Benghazi.
And it's newsworthy because?
Some Americans died. There was a riot.
Recently?
Yes.
Last year.
No, it was before the elections.
It was before the elections.
There was a riot and the United States ambassadorship there got invaded and a bunch of Americans got killed.
And that sounds bad.
The ambassador got killed.
Yeah.
You guys should know that I don't really watch the news per se.
But it's online so much. Because Fox News,
I don't read news. No, I don't watch TV. I don't read newspapers. And I don't read the news online.
Daily show?
Like, if it's... No, I don't even watch the daily show. Like, if it's important, Katie or one of you or one of my other friends will mention it to me.
Living in ignorance is simpler.
It is.
Here's no, seriously, I actually have some thinking behind this. I'm not saying it's good thinking, but here's the thing, is if it makes the news, it's either one, scandalous, in which case, frankly, I could care less and it's not improving my life in any way, or it's horribly depressing. Those are the two things that make the
news.
Or both at the same time.
Most of the scandalous things are fun. Like, I like that apparently...
the scandalous things are funny,
Republican senators sit on the toilet with their feet very far apart. Like, that's just a thing.
Okay.
In the Minneapolis airport.
Yeah, in the Minneapolis airport. Yes. Yeah, when you're in the Minneapolis airport and you're a Republican senator, you just put your feet, like, 4 feet apart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So...
And tap for a signal to the person next to you.
Jeremy doesn't get that one.
I don't
either.
See why this matters.
Oh. Because you,
anyway, it doesn't matter. No, I will. I don't even know why. Like, these words. Like, how do you respond to any of this?
Anyway, that was Jeremy's error. Moving on.
Is that like Brian's apology?
No.
You should have called it Jeremy's fact, and then it would have been more like Brian's apology.
You know what? We need to quiz Jeremy once a week on world events.
I wish that you had covered your ass and made up a bunch of stuff about Benghazi. No. I wanted to hear who he was in your brain.
No. It's at least somewhere in the Middle East, right?
Maybe. So Morvana too.
See, I don't feel like I'm missing anything.
The thing is, you're really not, but they're making a big deal about it.
Question, did you vote?
Yes.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
So to be fair, I do actually research political candidates and what they stand for. But I don't read the news about them. I, like, actually research them.
He goes to Fox News and checks out who's
No, I don't
right.
read the Fox News
no,
either.
No, if he had gone to Fox News, he would have heard about Benghazi.
I would have heard about Benghazi. That's true. Like, the thing is, like, literally and truly, like, no candidate am I likely to get any kind of accurate estimate of what they stand for by hearing a news story about them.
Well, I don't disagree, but where do you go? How do you find out about them? Like, where do you go? Do you, like, wiki them?
There are websites that are nothing but... There are fact-checking websites, and then there are specific websites
to
the right.
Can you name one of these websites?
I always look them up before the election.
Okay. Moving on.
Are they mostly voting history, then?
Some of them are voting history. Some of them are just run down the top 20 things that a politician would stand for or against, and they stand yes, no, yes, no, yes, no, yes, no, yes, no.
But they don't mention, like, horrific scandals within the last week about them.
Most of them would not, no.
Right. So, like, nothing about, like... Mitt Romney keeping animals on the roof of his car.
That would be unlikely to be in any of the websites I'm checking.
Okay.
Yeah, fair enough.
That was also a somewhat big deal around the election.
To say a good thing about Jeremy, he did really well in disc golf today.
No, I really didn't.
I think I got a 5 today.
No.
No.
I
got an 8 the second game. I got like a 13 or... No, I got a 14 the first game.
So Jeremy failed disc golf today.
Yeah.
That's your over par?
My average. Yeah, that was my over par. My average is an 8. I hit a 5 earlier this week, and I hit a 14 today.
That's right. I hit a 10 earlier this week, and then this morning I got a 20. So
I played Diablo 3 a lot.
8 a.m.
Yeah, I
think 8 a.m.
What?
8 a.m. every Sunday.
Who said this? 8 a.m. every Sunday.
I posted it.
You said you didn't want too many people.
You said you didn't want too many people. So
one.
I'm not going to go because otherwise Jim's going to throw a fit.
Why would?
Because there's too many people. He's already said this to me many times. Like, if, huh? If he listens to this?
No.
Never mind.
So before
never
we have
mind.
More couples counseling about disc golf on the episode, seriously, hey, War Machine topic, Morvana too.
She's pretty good.
She's really good.
So Jeremy claims that she's overpowered.
She doesn't do well at disc golf.
No, she does not.
But I don't think she does.
I think she is legitimately overpowered.
I don't think that people...
I don't think she's unbeatable. There's a difference.
As a cricket
ahead,
player,
sorry,
I don't.
Katie,
I've only faced her once. Jeff, who won a tournament, played her against me, but
A cricket player is never going to play.
He knew I was playing cricket, and he still threw Morvana down because he had beat. I was playing Scorn.
Makes more sense
because I brought out a Resheth. I brought out the No Quarter Magazine Resheth tier list, which was terrible. But I went down to Mondays where it's more casual, and Jeff just shoved my shit in.
Yeah,
I mean, he could have played any list and would have shoved my shit in. It was just. My shit was really shoved.
Well, also, he rolled really well. Like, we did the math, and he should have left, like, 15 hit points on that mammoth,
well,
and he killed it with Model's Despair.
He did do 48 damage when he should have averaged 30. So he had some spikes and rolls.
That helps.
So whatever. So then on Wednesday, Jeff walks. I'm like, Jeff, you and me now. So because I had my Makeda 3 list.
Uh-huh.
And he sits down, and I just, like, shoved Makeda 3 up his ass.
So, and Makeda 3 doesn't RFP any of that stuff, so it all just comes. He feeds the next turn and just brings it all back.
There was no next turn. There was Makeda going a foot and a half and killing her.
Oh, yeah. I basically just used.
Was he playing her really far up?
Or no, she was Makeda 3 just goes a foot and a half.
Jeez. Yeah, so I just missled Makeda 3 into Morvana.
That's what two eliminators, I assume.
Yeah.
Katie, you're our circle player. What do you just before Jeremy cut you off, you were probably going to make a point.
Oh, yeah, Marshall, mail me my Morvana.
I feel like you had another point.
No, about her actual playability.
Oh, I don't think that people who aren't top tier have had a chance to play her enough and learn how to beat her yet. But I think that she's probably still beatable. Like,
I agree.
Do you think she's more beatable than Gatsby?
I don't know. I can't make...
Have you played against Gatsby?
She's definitely top five models in the top five casters in the game in my mind. I mean, nobody's unbeatable.
No. Yeah, she's up there. Like, but yeah,
I'm not saying she's unbeatable.
My big issue with her is that it is an undeniable factual statement that she has another Warcaster's feat as an always-on passive ability.
Yep. Kalandra.
No. Mordnebra. Kalandra's just reroll ones and twos. Mordnebra's reroll whatever you feel like rerolling.
You're right.
She always has another caster's feat on as a passive ability. And if something was really good as a feat, it seems it's too good to be as an always-on passive ability.
Oh, but the drawback is you have to take D3 points of damage every time you do that.
And it's a shame she doesn't heal 50 damage a turn.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
And in a faction where transferring her beast doesn't matter either.
If she didn't have Carnivore so that it was an actual repercussion to that, then maybe.
Even Carnivore aside, if she didn't have the heal every time you kill one of her models.
One or the other.
Either
the fact that she has both
is problem.
Means that there is no actual drawback to that reroll thing because she's just healing it back anyway. We're not fooling ourselves here.
Yeah, can you imagine the Harbinger with Carnivore or something like that?
Yeah.
Being able to just keep all of her things alive with just D3.
Well, in Mark 1, when Doc Killingsworth worked on the Harbinger, she'd bring Doc and the Hierophant and just heal her 2d6 damage every single turn.
Yeah.
But, I mean, she has a feat always. Yeah. And then she also has her feat. I mean...
Which is really baller feat because it brings them back fully healed for no apparent good God reason. Because all the other feats like that have some sort of limitation. She's like, no, just bring it all back.
No action at least, but no action, but still.
Yeah, well, she brings back an Arc Node and then Death and Pain.
Yeah. Bring them back in the second wave is what it means.
Yeah, or the other trick is you bring back an Arc Node and then like 10 dudes base to base with their enemy Warcaster, and then you shoot the enemy Warcaster with the Death Toll.
Well, you don't even shoot the enemy caster, you shoot one of the
guys.
Doesn't
matter, you shoot something, and it does 50 damage.
Yeah.
No, it's ridiculous.
Having another caster's feat isn't always on passive is just silly to me.
Yeah. And Carnivore's so good. Like, she isn't good against Cricks.
And depending on the build, she might not be good against Convergence. I'm not sure what percentage of their infantry Clockwork Vessel.
They seem very little living. It does seem that way. So, but the problem is that would be okay. And maybe with Convergence, I don't know. But that would be okay if it weren't for the fact that her faction already had one of the best anti-Cricks casters in the game. Cromac. Like, that's like saying, you know, you've got this one really crippling handicap in that this caster A can't play against faction B. Oh, by the way, you also have the best caster to face faction B with.
And Ravana is good against almost everything else. So they really can have it. I mean, in some ways, if you don't mind ever changing your casters around, you're pretty much set. But
yeah,
that would have worked for me because I would get too bored of it after like 6 months. But some people can do that. I mean, some people can say the same caster forever.
You say that, but it's like Keith plays Gatsby and whoever.
Well, no, I mean, some of the top players will do that. They latch onto their favorite caster, and they like winning, and winning's more fun than variety. I mean,
I'm sure they play variety. Like, I've seen Keith play on other stuff, just not in a tournament that matters.
Exactly.
And so it comes to a tournament that matters, and you pull out your Morvana, you pull out your Gatsby, and you're just, I mean, she...
Or, to be fair, your Epic Kane. I mean,
Yeah, I mean, he did the same thing in Signar. I'm not disagreeing. Yeah,
sure.
But and the telling thing is, there's several things that tell me that she's just too good in the current meta. Having played against her personally, like she's just ball bustingly hard to play against. She's won all but one of the War Machine Weekend qualifiers since she came out. She's regularly putting circle versus circle at top tables in big tournaments. Like, these are indications that there's a problem here. Like, the thing with Gatsby that's always been interesting is, sure, he always gets into the top 8, top 16 or whatever, but then if you know how to play against Gatsby, the top players can crush Gatsby.
Right, well, and but Katie's point before was that maybe people just don't know how to play against Morvana.
But people have figured out how to play her.
like, well, she's easy to so she's easy to figure out how to play. You put Carnivore on a unit and wipe out your opponent's army.
And then
it's not
Carnivore.
Hard to figure out how to play as her.
Yeah.
It's harder to figure out how to play against her. Yeah. And maybe when people figure out how to play against her, it'll neutralize
like,
her a bit.
It's like the initial shots of like when Colossals first hit the table.
Yeah.
People did not know how to really handle them. Same thing with the battle engines.
I remember when Strakov first came out, people were like, oh my god, he can send Beast 09 30 inches. He's never going to lose a game.
Yeah.
Who the fuck plays Strakov now?
No one plays Strakov.
Like, but Strakov is not Morvana, too.
Right, but my point is, like, some new hotness hits, everybody freaks out.
Yeah.
She is legit. Yeah, I'm not saying that, but I mean, you know, maybe she's got an Achilles heel and it'll get found.
Yeah, I mean, she's, at the very worst, she's very good.
At the very worst. Yeah.
At the very worst, she's one of the top 10 casters in the game. She's probably one of the top 5.
I would argue that.
I would agree that in that regards. But I mean, it's the more people face off against it, the more people will be able to figure out her thing.
Well, I mean, not to like toot your guys' horns for you, but you guys at the table here, not counting me, are all fairly good players.
So not counting me either.
No, like, you. Okay, so maybe your tournament play lately hasn't been up to enough, but, like, at the very least, in the dojo, you guys are all pretty good.
Yeah.
The mom guys are all pretty good players. The Texas guys are all pretty good players. And I haven't heard any of them suggest even so much as, well, here's maybe a list. Here's maybe, if I happened to play the right faction that's not Crix, what I'd do against Morvana.
I don't think it's a
RFP.
List that would
it's
be
It's RFP.
Her.
Everybody's got access to RFP. You just need to bring it. Like,
you have to bring a shit ton of it.
Yeah.
I played a shit ton of it.
So you bring a Scythian if you're playing Legion.
I played two Scythians and an Afflictor, and it was not enough. It physically wasn't enough RFP.
I don't think it's a specifically a list. It's also a strategy as well.
It is.
I mean, to,
depends on what you're RFPing. If you can RFP the trees, that hurts her a lot.
I RFP'd a tree and the entire unit of Skinwalkers.
Well, Skinwalkers can't come back. Yeah, so I mean, but then you brought back the other guys.
Yeah, but the Tharns aren't as scary as the Skinwalkers, frankly. Like, they tied me up again when they came back.
You can splash in Slaughterhousers. I had fun. That was my fun moment in the event yesterday was I was playing against Jason, and he had a Kraken, and I Carver feeded, and I shoved a bunch of crap into the Kraken, and it did a lot of damage. I had, like, 3 hit points left, so I had a Slaughterhouser just hit it, and I just Slaughterhouser finished it off, you know, rolling 5 dice damage or whatever. So he goes to get the wreck marker, and I'm like, no, no, Jason. It hit it too hard. There is no wreck marker.
Yep, that's Slaughterhouser for you.
And then you shove some stalkers up your ass, and you managed to survive.
I did survive. Shut up, you. It was my one win for the day.
Hey, and but the thing is, you have to figure that she also has just so much RFP of her own.
Yeah.
She's
solid.
She's super good. No one's arguing she's not super good. She's not unbeatable, but,
no.
You know. The argument that I'm sometimes a little worrisome about is that doesn't matter if she's beatable if you bring the right list. The problem is then that you're forced to bring that right list.
So now I have to bring a Gatsby list and a Morvana list, right. And then I lose to everything else.
Right. Like and that's also something that I think Brian's mentioned about the double Colossals, is that I think it's always dumb to bring 2 Colossals. From the list you're building, that second Colossal should be replaced with 20 points of anything else, and it will be better for your list. But the fact that some asshat might bring 2 Colossals means that I need to build a list that can do it, that can kill it. And so having to plan for it is what is frustrating. I'm not frustrated playing against 2 Colossals. I'm frustrated by the fact that when I'm building my tournament list, I have to plan for it.
One of your lists has to be
same
shoehorned
with Gatsby,
into that much
same damage. With, you know, it's annoying to have to mitigate that preemptively with my list building.
And at some point you can't. Like, at some point, you can't even meta enough.
No, you have to go into a tournament. You go, okay, there's 10 things that are super powerful I need to focus on. I can make 2 lists I can deal with 7 of them, right. And then I just have to hope I hit, hope if I hit those 3 that either A, it's the I can outplay the person,
right.
Or I get good luck, or I just don't fucking touch it, run into them.
Right.
I
mean, and the problem is a lot of people, here's the thing, is a lot of people said when she came out that what beats Morvana also beats Gatsby, and so you
RFP.
Yeah. RFP.
Yeah.
But the problem is the lists you need against the two are actually really different.
Yeah.
Like, despite RFP being a good thing against both, it's really hard to do well against both.
Yup.
I will say, you know, she. I bet Morvana is good when Keith looked at it. Yeah, I'm buying that. So Keith got in the circle because of that model. Yeah. So you know, you definitely know that.
And you watch his game against Stick Meter, and I'm not taking anything from Keith. He's a great player, but he played Morvana 5 times, drunk off his ass for 3 of them. I know because I was there hanging out with him, also drunk off my ass. And then he still almost beat Jake Van Meter with her. And Jake was playing a Saren list that he knows stone cold.
Yep.
He knows every model in that list stone cold. Keith doesn't even Keith said himself he doesn't even know how to use shifting stones. Like, that's just mind boggling to me.
Right. That's kind of the same way how Lich
was it the first time that Jake had played against Morvana?
No, he had practiced against her for the tournament.
But against two.
He has Chuck.
He has Chuck in his mouth.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
If he didn't practice against her, I'd be shocked. I didn't ask him specifically, but I asked him before the event if he had a plan for Morvana, and he said, "Oh yeah, I've got a Morvana list."
Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure he practiced. Yeah, I mean, two Scythians and an Afflictor indicates to me he was thinking pretty heavily about Morvana with that list. And he might have been out of luck anyway because it was a 3-game, 3-list format, and he almost ran into another Circle player.
Yeah, then that's a format issue more than it is a.
But yeah, I mean, she's just showing up everywhere.
Yeah, she's a new flavor.
She is.
Eventually, people will. I mean, you'll have the people that will get sick of playing her too. I mean,
I don't know. She seems really fun to play.
Honestly, when Keith and Brian were playing Gatsby 2 for a while there, before the really big surgence of him, people start petering out after a while. I mean, some people just don't know how to play her and can't function properly with her.
I'm just saying, if War Machine Weekend is, you know, 8 people playing Circle, then I think we have a problem. But we'll see. We won't know till November. But
you got to give it 6 months to a year and see how things float. I mean,
by War Machine Weekend, if we're still seeing a preponderance of her at the qualifier War Machine Weekend, I think we have a problem.
And that'll be something that Privateer will probably address in some way or another. I mean, they addressed Gatsby twice. I believe they did.
Yeah,
yeah.
They changed how it works.
But they were pretty subtle changes. I mean, they helped. Don't get me wrong, but
neither of them were the thing that needs to be addressed in my mind. But that's a whole other can of worms,
right? Yeah.
No reason an Excarnate created model should have an action.
Yep.
Correct.
Agreed.
A ranged action, I think.
Any action.
I think a melee action's fine.
Any action.
Just make it clean. Yeah,
it's fine.
No. Drop it to 2 points.
There's spells that
drop it to 2 cost and say created model does not get an action. And it's a fine spell. It's a 2-point zap with a bonus. Just like, not Ignite. The one that gives you a focus. Whatever.
Yeah, something about fire.
I think 3 costs and no ranged action.
Convection.
Is fine.
Convection.
Yeah,
like, I definitely agree. I don't see why it should be. I don't think a ranged attack. I don't think a Bile Thrall Purge via Excarnation is not a thing.
It's not okay. I agree.
When you play against it, you have to play so stupid when you play against a kind of a list.
Well, the funny thing is, though, if you took that away from him, all of a sudden Gatsby goes from a top tier, top 5 casters in the game to.
No. He goes from top 3 to top 5.
I think he drops to top 10.
I'll tell you what, I'll play you 10 games with him
without
Excarnate once, and I bet I win 12 of those 10 games.
Yeah,
I just Jerry did
12 of those 10 games.
Yeah, he will skunk you. Like you're like, oh, you beat me so badly that counted as 2.
Well, because A, your spirit will be broken, and B, you're gonna shit your pants. So those both count as victories.
Yeah, so good.
He is really good.
Well, I guess that's that for the conversation. We petered out. Yeah, all right. She might be too good.
So I still had fun at the event yesterday. I didn't do well, but I had fun.
And which it was Jeff's first tournament when he was very excited. He got
Congrats,
to play Jim,
Jeff.
Even though he got berated by Jim. Well, because Jim lost, and Jim had to tell him why Jim should have won.
Jim had
and
a
he actually endured day. That and then won his next game. So he had that's a full test of someone who can withstand a day.
That's a mental challenge.
That was Jim's third game.
Yeah, it was Jim's third game.
Then he faced me too.
So congratulations, Jeff. You did very good. By the way, you suck. But that's another thing.
What? Get it?
I don't know. What do you want?
And we had some new guys that have never come out for a tournament that are somewhat local, so that was fun.
Yeah, Dan from Milwaukee game, who might be applying to be a PG to replace Travis.
Oh, nice. I didn't know that.
We had one guy not show up, so we had an odd number of people, so I dropped.
She was pretty upset about it.
Yeah, I could see how sad you were to not be playing.
I'm very sore today from not playing.
She went home and gardened.
It's hard work.
Mm-hmm.
Being out in the sun.
Yeah, I know.
Planting flowers.
Golfing also is difficult.
It is.
Yes.
Not frisbee golf, real golf.
You would know if you showed up at 8 this morning.
No, real golf. Not frisbee golf.
Real golf is just frustrating.
And dumb.
It angers me.
No more frustrating than frisbee golf for the same reasons.
It is for me.
All right, well.
I think golf is things. If I was in jail for murder and they said like my punishment was to play golf, I'd commit suicide. I would just like...
It's just taking a nice walk outside, and every once in a while you stop to hit a ball.
It's all I would never fucking find my ball.
Yeah, but
like
I
as hard
would,
as it is
wouldn't...
for me to find a disc, which is fairly large comparatively,
and goes much. Yeah.
Well,
and,
the thing is, your balls would go like 20 feet,
no,
so it wouldn't be
I
hard to find
before,
them.
And I'm like fucking Happy Gilmore. The ball goes for a day and a half in a random direction somewhere in my 180-degree front arc.
Oh, okay.
Happy Gilmore could at least drive in a straight line.
Yeah, yeah, I cannot.
Yeah. So
well, we just got to hit the driving range and practice.
I did.
You, me, Katie, Raylene, foursome.
No.
Okay.
Golf foursome.
Hey, you should meet my friends from work. Their names are Marissa and Greg.
Why
okay.
should they meet them?
Because they're another couple.
Okay.
That is true.
I'm going to start doing couple stuff and not inviting Brian and Andy. Well, we'll have like several sub-clicks within the podcast.
Yep.
I could have met them, but I didn't. That's my story.
Well,
I'm like,
cool
screw,
story,
screw
bro.
Those people.
That's a story, I guess.
Yeah. Story.
It would have been a little odd because Alex didn't come, so you would have been a fifth wheel.
I'm always fifth wheel. It's how I roll. I don't care.
You roll as the fifth wheel.
Yeah, we're gonna. Yeah, it's bowling alley. I don't give a flying fuck. Those people are all couples. I'm eating fucking like cheese sticks and bowling.
We did have mozzarella sticks.
Yeah, obviously you did.
Wait,
you're at bowling alley.
Wait, there's bowling involved.
There was bowling involved.
We went on Friday.
That was our
what?
Point. We went on Friday. The only reason Brian found
another
out was
time we weren't invited.
I was yeah. at their house. That's the
Brian
only
was
reason
at
I
our
found.
House.
Why was he at your house? Because we weren't invited there.
You were actually. Yeah. Brian said, "I'm taking time off to play board games."
Oh yeah, we played board games on Friday. So I was there from 8, and then
you didn't
and then
mention
Kate,
this
and then,
to me.
Wednesday yeah. he did. Wednesday
no,
he told both of you guys.
You didn't tell me.
I told you I was being off all week. You knew I was off the rest of the
week. I knew
you
were off of the rest of the week. I didn't know you were out and playing board games.
Well, I, to be fair, it you wasn't until like late before. Thursday night that I was like, okay, fine, I'll also join you. So I was a late addition. But he was taking the day off to fuck around, and he told you guys that Wednesday.
Yeah,
I knew that he was off. I didn't know he was actually going to play board games.
And they said we're going to go bowling, and I was like, screw you guys, I'm going home.
Let me check real quick. Yep, our listeners give zero fucks. I just double checked, and it is zero fucks that they get.
It could be half a fuck.
He is checking
zero
the,
fucks.
He is checking the
here
tape, by the way.
There's
not,
zero
he's,
fucks.
He's not like making this up. He's literally verified this.
And you can see
paperwork.
That it's a blank sheet yep. there. That's how many fucks our listeners give.
So should we move on to something
We should
else
move on to Katie's Corner.
You think someone has reached this point in the podcast this week? We've lost everybody. Even Jeff who... Wait, hey. Hello, Travis. How are you today?
Oh, wait. And hey, Menoth John, you're dumb. Haha. He says we don't troll him enough on.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Menoth John,
one?
So dumb. He
the
hangs
actual
out with
Menoth
Sam.
John.
I mean, Travis.
Which one?
Menoth Sam?
Not our local guy that we call
painting
that, but
with,
the known one.
Painting with Menoth John celebrity.
Yeah,
Menoth
that is
John.
True. With Bullwinkle.
Anywho.
Yeah.
We're talking to our fans right now. Hello, everybody. Hi, Alvarian. How are you?
Hi, other fans.
Albanian?
Alvarian.
The Albanians?
Albanian. Hello, hello, yeah. Hello, people
I'm assuming
Albania.
That name is a reference to Wheel of Time. Does anyone actually know?
Albania? That's a country.
No, not Albania.
It's right next to Benghazi.
Yeah, probably.
That's and everyone from it is all white with pink eyes.
That's
oh, my goodness.
I stole that from The Simpsons, I have to admit.
Good job. All right.
All right, Katie, corner us.
All right, so... This comes from Frisbee Golf, but it applies really well to War Machine, and even though it's not specific, it's just more of a improving in general thought. Is there, you reach a point in your career or your game that you play where you've plateaued at, you're not going to get any better unless you drastically change something. So as it came up in Frisbee Golf...
Stagnate, maybe might be the term.
You're going to stagnate. Okay. Yeah, you're going to plateau. And you can get better, but you have to find a way to reach it. And it usually comes with changing something that's basic about what you're doing. So in Frisbee Golf, it was the way I was throwing the Frisbee. I had to change it in order to get a little bit more distance because I just wasn't going to get any better throwing it the way I was. It had gone as far as it was going to go. And the same thing with War Machine, and Jeremy thought of a good example, is like the Sentinels in Rhett, you know...
I think the circle example you had...
Well, we can use both.
Okay,
fine. They have...
Get in your corner, Jeremy.
Yeah, sorry. Come on.
Get in your damn corner.
They have the little shield, not shield walled, but +2 defense
defensive
if they're base to base. And, so if you keep playing them that way, like, that's a good way to do it, and you can make sure that they're there, but... Maybe the next step up is making it so that they are a vengeance unit and they are taking advantage of that move, and so that they can come out of the woodwork and you're only giving one up, and so that they really make their money as opposed to giving three up. Now you're only giving one up, and so you can get more guys. But then in Circle, another example would be with the stones. You know, everyone's like, when you're first learning them, you use them to transport your beasts all around, or you can do like a double transport and get a caster kill. But you're not going to get any better with them that way. You need to take the next step and say, what else can these things do? They can also refury. They can
medicate.
They can do all sorts of shenanigans. They can contest the zone. They can keep you from being pushed. They can get in the way. They can do all sorts of things. They're very complex.
They're a great target for death knells.
Versatile. Thank you.
Wait, putting them behind or in front of something you don't want moved. Yeah.
Right. They're fantastic for that because they can't be moved. So my point is, there comes a point in your gameplay where you have to fundamentally change the way you think about a piece in order to get any better. Otherwise, you can go week after week after week, but if you're just doing the same thing over and over and over again, you're going to stay at the same level. You're going
to
stay average.
We have players like that who just they don't understand. They're losing the same thing, getting mad about it.
And you might see incremental improvements, maybe, but there's a big difference between incremental improvement and a game changer. And what you're talking about is a game changer.
Yep. So you learn, you've learned the basics. Now take it to that next level. Climb the little ladder up to the next level.
Like in Donkey Kong.
One of my favorite examples from a faction that I played is a lot of people think Boomhauer and Company are a 4+ tough unit with no special abilities.
Yup.
Because that's what they are. They're just 4+ tough. And it's like you just assume that they're a 4+ tough unit with no special abilities. Rage Howl is really goddamn good. You know, and you can tell good players when they use Rage Howl.
Yep.
That means that they're aware of the abilities their models have and aware of when to use them as opposed to just doing the wash, rinse, repeat standard things.
and when to actually use Rage Howler. Not at the beginning
after
of
you
your
use,
turn.
Yes, because it sure doesn't specify enemy.
Nope. And the other thing, it's not just Rage Howl. Like, I've seen a good Reveille from them that also can just completely shock an opponent.
I love Reveille and my Terran Commander instead of just doing the +2 walking. And people are like, what's happening now?
Yeah,
that one's fucking you in the ass is what's happening.
Why are you picking
right
up all those knockdown tokens?
Yeah.
Or, you know, like, thinking outside the box in general. Like, Chuck is, you know, world famous for his outside of the box thinking.
Yep.
But even, you know, just little stuff like Jim for a while played Magnus with 0 Renegades. You know, of course, the standard thing is he's allowed to take Renegades. They're FA2, take 2 Renegades and do double pop, whatever. But Jim was like, you know, for a 6-point jack, I'm not that necessary. Like, I can save 12 points in my list by just not bringing Renegades.
Yep.
Not the standard mindset.
No, not at all.
And he had some pretty mean lists because of that.
And even if it was a failure, even if it turns out, yes, you do need Renegades, it helps to highlight why you need them.
Yeah.
Like, because what was missing when, you know, just it's a drastic, like,
what problem
saying,
are
it's
they
a
solving?
Drastic basic change.
Right. Because what problem are you solving with them?
Yeah.
Well, some people play Zal with like 5 Incensed Guardians because he gives them bonuses, but you need that. I mean, you need to use that bonus, and maybe you don't need that bonus. You know, or it's, like, I went down to 1 only because I felt the others, while it was a nice bonus, wasn't helping the game overall.
I don't play Damiano with Steelheads.
One plus a car, right?
I just do a car.
Oh, just a car.
Just a car. Yeah, Damiano has Coin Master for Steelheads. My Damiano list that treated me really, really well has not a single Steelhead in it.
Yeah, that Damiano list destroyed me a couple of times.
Yeah, I mean, that's a tournament viable list. That thing's amazing. I think it might be the best Merc list I've ever used and just completely ignores what's hypothetically supposed to be one of his basic abilities.
Yep. And like Katie was saying, it's sometimes it's something that you're even just not really thinking about, and sometimes it's something that requires a change in your play. A stupid example for me was Shatterstorm. I knew it was an AoE, but it was a POW 8, and I was like, meh. And I didn't really think about it, and I completely overlooked the fact that it was RFP for a long time.
Yep.
And that's so good. Like, when you have that revelatory moment about Shatterstorm, that, oh my god, it's a ranged RFP, that's like one of those moments when your game just goes up a notch.
Yeah, that's one of the big things about the anti-Gaspy for Kador is taking Sorsha, too.
Yeah.
She's got Shatterstorm.
Yeah.
That's one of the big things.
Yeah, like, I was playing P. Thegrosh, playing against P. Thegrosh with my Ossian list, and suddenly it just clicked, and I put Shatterstorm on a Sphinx, and I went in and killed his Carnivian, and it went, waka, waka, waka.
I had Kador briefly for, like, 2 months, because I won the two-player battle, the two-player starter in a raffle, so I kept the Kador half and picked up some, you know, because I had Kiazis and stuff with my Mercs, and I used Shatterstorm exactly once.
On your Kiazi?
on my Chaozzi. So I push, I'm like, oh, they're going to be awesome because they got extra damage and stuff. So I charge in, and they all charge. And then now they're obligated to attack. And it was just beautiful because the first one attacked. I had them all clustered for gang. Yep. So he attacks, kills the guy, and then both those Chaozzi explode. And I'm like, shit.
I actually enjoyed the game very much.
Yeah. I did not enjoy that game very much. Because I look at the next Chaozzi, I'm like, this is going to be bad for me.
I wish I could miss so bad right now.
I wish these were advances so I could choose not to attack.
Yep. Yep.
It was like the old Mark 1, what is the spell that causes explosions that would kill Risen?
Primed,
yes. Old Mark 1 Primed, yeah.
Oh, Mark 1 Primed was hilarious on Risen because... Yes. Alexia in Mark 1, she didn't get corpse tokens and then use them in your maintenance phase. She just immediately placed Risens for anything that died. So you'd put Primed on them. Somebody would charge a Risen, kill it. The Risen would explode, killing them. And then you would just use the guy that just died to place a new Risen in the exact same spot or a better place. Yeah. It was just, that's it was hilarious.
Hilarious is a word you could use.
It's hilarious.
But yeah. So I definitely think.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Go
ahead. I was just saying, another thing you could do is just like. Take a look. What's your favorite Beast, Jack, or unit, or solo? Shelve it.
Yep.
Shelve it for 2 months.
Yeah. I'm on a Legion kick right now, but I'm still trying to convince myself to give Hypnos some more playtime. Like, I think you never see him played, ever. And I think that at least in an Ossian list, there's got to be a way to make him work. Mm-hmm. He's Ossian's personal Jack. He gives him the Void Lock ability. It seems like disruption on Beasts can't be bad. Like a disruption that affects both Beasts and Jacks can't be bad.
It's actually better against Beasts because Jacks can be allocated before they go in.
Yep.
The Beasts, like, they charge them and they're like, oh, I guess I suck now.
No, Void Lock is I hit you and...
Oh, I was thinking of the... what's the AoE that, like, Mornember has?
I can't think of the name of it.
It's Void something. Void Gate or
Void
something.
Gate.
Yeah,
that's Void Gate. No, he shoots you and you sacrifice movement or action.
Oh, okay, yeah, it's like a death
with his gun or his melee.
Yeah.
So you get that, and you get Ossian's gun slowing something else down.
Or you knock him down with the cricket and then shoot him with that, and they have to just stay on the ground. They can't even stand up.
No, they can.
Or no, they can stand up and not do anything.
Yep, stand up and just sit there with their hand in their...
If you also death chilled him, they could do nothing.
That's true, you could.
I've been intrigued by Martin Everest. My last game I had every single light, you know...
Helldivers with her just a terrifying.
It was this fun experiment which Jack, you know, which would fit. And they all had their all the role. Each I liked how each Helljack performed, each of them did their thing.
Do you have a Harrower in your More Never list?
Yeah.
He didn't.
God, I love the Harrower.
Yeah.
The Harrower I'm thinking about it, it is my favorite Jack in the game.
That one had
Harrower.
The Thresher Soul Taker?
Yeah. That would be the Reach Thresher Soul Taker who also has an AoE gun with Ghost Shot because why not?
And
it's immune to knockdown Pathfinder. Yep. Like, Best defensive stats of any Crix heavy. So good. I love the Harrower.
Building on Nathan's thing, too, is you should probably, besides the models that you normally take all the time that you consider your favorite, take models that are your favorite that you don't play and bring those in.
Yep.
Yeah.
I like the Blitzer. I think the Blitzer's awesome. I don't think he sees enough play.
He doesn't.
And I've started making a point to put Blitzers into my list.
Well, he's got a really good Animus, too.
His Animus is actually really good in this new game.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
this new scenario type.
I would play Angels just for that Animus. It's the same Animus.
Well, Angels are amazing.
I mean, they're amazing anyway, but my point is, that Animus is legit.
Yes. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing that really helps is researching, if you have a favorite model and you want to play them and you want to get better with them, to research how other people play them or how other people use them, if there's anything out there that you might be missing about them.
Yeah, I would agree.
Yep.
And there's lots of resources. There's tons of resources out there. I would say, and not to make his head too big, but like Matty K's new website, Endgame Gaming, those videos he puts up, where you can see some of the top table play of some of the best players. Like, you don't have, like, a running commentary that tells you why they do things, but you watch those videos and you'll pick stuff up. You will.
If only somebody out there started doing video battle reports with running commentary tracks.
I know, right?
That would be pretty snazzy.
It would be pretty amazing.
If only we knew someone with a camcorder who could record games.
And who knew a group of people that really liked to talk.
And bought the camera for the podcast so we could do that.
Who, what?
If only that were true.
God, I wish that were true.
Hey, spoiler people listening to this on Monday. This is going to happen. We're making this happen.
This week.
This Wednesday,
happening.
We're recording things. And then in the last half of this week, we're going to do commentary track. So next week, you're going to have a video battle report with commentary track from the players playing it.
And I apologize
this
for that.
This is a promise.
Yeah.
You're gonna be, and, so a now, vow.
Well, see, normally when people watch a battle report, it's always fun to comment. Like, why did you do X? So-and-so did X and that was dumb. Because when you play a game,
right.
People always don't see what, you know, don't catch what they're doing. So it's fun to watch. Every battle report always has someone posting saying, well, that guy was an idiot. Whether he won or lost, it's like, why did he do it?
Yep.
So now we'll be able to commentate why we did it, and people can even be more insulted.
It's true.
That's your logic. How dare you think that? You're so fucking stupid. So people are going to just. So the people who love the nitpick are going to have like twice the fun.
Oh, yeah,
range.
They're going to have a great time. We do need to make sure it's a timed game, though, because if it becomes one of those.
Death clock.
Exactly.
We need a camera on the death clock, a camera on the dice, and a camera.
Pretty sure.
Game.
I'm pretty sure we can put the death clock in the picture.
On each person's face.
I actually have multiple cameras. So.
Oh yeah. My god.
Oh, and I. Spoiler alert! Not me. I didn't buy a camera. No, but I have multiple cameras. I got another camera that.
Splicing that together sounds difficult. We might be able to just fit the death clock in the shot.
Picture in picture would
be amazing.
I want picture in picture.
Picture
in
picture would be fantastic.
It might not be that hard. I don't know. Did that link I sent you, Andy, did it work, or was that? Did you even look at it?
No.
Okay. Awesome. Okay.
I will look at it.
I'm curious because the link I sent you is to a forum, and that forum is a pay forum, but I think that subsection of it is open to anybody without having to pay. I was curious mostly if you literally could access the information I had sent you.
I need to shout out to a couple – before I forget, I'm completely interrupting. Breaking news. Dear contest winners of our podcast, not that have won random like
Swedish Muslim Jeremy.
Your prizes will be sent to you someday. We haven't forgotten about you. We're just basically, we're ignoring you. We haven't forgotten about you.
Right.
No, I'm not ignoring so much as we're just incredibly forgetful.
You mailed us your address. We have your address. We just haven't bothered putting the time and effort to send you the stuff.
Well, we don't have all the stuff to send.
Well, still, something for the Swedish is just some dice.
Yeah, okay, yes. I mean, but the point is we're trying to,
we keep getting emails.
So for the Facebook one, Eric Festa, your stuff is on the way. I apologize. I had it in my purse for a week, and it took me a week to walk across the street.
So that's a pretty special, special reward right there.
There are some members.
You're like a grandma. You send them like butterscotch candies that were in your purse.
I thought about it because I felt so bad about having it in my purse for so long.
Well, we have some other loyal listeners who keep messaging us on our Facebook page saying, "Hey, I'm moving. Here's my address. Here's my new address. Hey, I'm moving again because it's been so long.
I'm dying here. Leave it to my children." In the
we are aware of you. We're just ignoring you. You haven't reached important level enough to our processing team.
He's important.
They're important.
Hey, I'm not part of the people who take care of that part of it, so I'm guilt-free.
My mom's nickname for me was Procrastinathan for a reason.
And then for Chris, who won the Facebook contest, we're working on a shirt still.
Well, we are working on it. By working about it, we mean we're talking about it, but then not actually following up on anything. Right. We have ideas, but they all involve work.
All we have to do is give it to Nathan to order.
Yeah, that's two steps, and that's going to take a while. So within the next 3 years, I promise that at least half of you may get something.
Can we at least guarantee him a shirt before DICON? I understand
DICON?
Lock and load.
Before DICON?
I understand lock and load might be a little
DICON?
Risky.
DICON isn't 4 weeks.
Yeah.
If we can't get him a shirt in 4 weeks, we really need to have a contest again.
Yeah, that's doable.
Yeah, so I think we can do that. I don't know that we can promise it for lock and load. We apologize.
Well, and I've been looking into because part of it, I think, is also the fact that there's overhead to getting all this stuff made. And we've all agreed that we want to start selling product. People are interested. They buy the dice and stuff, and shirts are cool and everything like that. But there's the initial investment. And so I'm looking into the realism of doing like a Kickstarter to raise some money so that we can get a supply, get 100, not 100, but get dozens of shirts, get hats, get. You know,
the
water
problem with
bottles,
shirts is we need
tape measures,
sizes, but,
right? And so the thing is paying out of our pocket. This would be very exorbitant, and that's a big thing. What I was thinking about doing is a Kickstarter, where basically, instead of having like the prizes like they do with Kickstarter, like, you know, you donate $20, you get this, that, it's basically you donate $20, you get $25 in Crippled System store credit. You donate $50, you get $70 in Crippled System store credit, and so on and so forth.
Math,
so
yeah.
Basically, you can prepay for stuff, and then you're getting better than face value, and that'll give us the liquid assets to build the supplies so that people can get whatever they want.
Right.
Because it's all kinds of cool stuff. I want to get tape measures and all these kinds of things. It's just it takes hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars.
And our Kickstarter would be pure merchandise.
Pure merchandise.
We're not going to like just, you know, go
every
on
penny,
a trip for your out of your money. We are good. We're not cheapskates. Is what
every
we're
penny is yeah yeah. I'm not going to go on vacation with your Kickstarter money.
I feel like this is a good time to point out what I do for a profession. I'm a CPA.
Yeah.
So you know, good hands is what we're saying.
Good. You left something, you left something in somebody, in your purse
for a week.
For a week.
It wasn't money. I am very good with money. It's the actual thing.
You spend all of Jeremy's. He's, you know, so you have a lot of practice.
That's true.
So we didn't we designate Jeremy as being our PR person?
No.
As well?
No, he was the one. You're like in charge of checking Facebook messages and checking emails. You're like the receptionist.
You have to get the address of things to Andy, then Andy can actually mail it out.
You don't have to do anything except read emails and
the Facebook messages.
Yeah. Yeah.
Get a Facebook page, you fucking piece of shit.
I don't have a Facebook page.
You're gonna.
No. No.
I'll set one up for you.
It's being done.
It's being done.
No.
It also might be central to our next contest.
I suppose I could bust out my Joe Schmo webpage.
No.
No.
No. No,
I will set you up a webpage or a Facebook page.
For a long time, I had a Facebook page for Joe Schmo.
That's hilarious. You are so you're so hip.
Oh, it's amazing.
The Joe Schmo Show was my favorite
reality
TV show.
There was a new one this last
time. Was the new one good?
I didn't have a few time, but I know it was
okay. Because the original one was amazing. Did you guys see the Joe Schmo?
Yeah.
We talked about it.
Oh, we talked
podcast.
About it? Oh, fine. Forget it. I can't remember what we talked about. We might have.
I don't remember.
I give up.
Being talked on the podcast. But
good Katie's Corner.
Thank
that was
you.
A very good Katie's Corner.
Good
I
topic.
Agree.
It was a good topic. I have recommendation first. Me first. Me first. Me first. Starfleet captains can't steal me.
Damn it.
Sorry, Jeremy was going to steal my recommendation. I had to jump the gun there.
Are you going
to
tell him what it is?
Starfleet Captains is a board game for two or four players. Actually, three with three or four
right.
players. Well, it's like War of the Ring where it says it could be two to four, but really you want to probably just do two.
Okay.
But the expansion does make a legitimate three-person game possible.
Yeah.
It's basically one player plays like the Federation, one player will play the Romulan Empire or the
Oh, my Dragon God, Empire. More Star Trek talk. Am I right, Katie?
It's just
right.
It's going to be quick. It's a board game where you have
a big
grid. You
tell that
grid.
To all the girls.
I do. I'm like, yeah.
It's pretty quick.
It is. Yeah, you blink, it's done.
Go on.
It's a VP game where X amount of points wins, but the Federation tries to win like VO. They have more of like a scientific exploring method, and the Klingons kind of have a go find the Federation and blow them up kind of a strategy.
Yeah, it's true.
Which makes it kind of a fun. The game is very flexible. You can like make the grid as big as you want and make this, you know, and make how big your fleet is. It's got an interesting system to where you draft your ships.
Random draft.
And you get it. Based on the size of the game, you get X amount of ships. You could have three to six ships. Then you have 10 decks of 10 cards of like your flick. If you're the Federation, you have like a Kirk deck, a Picard deck, a
main engineering deck. That one was really good.
And you choose four of your 10 decks. So you draft your fleet. Then you pick four out of 10 decks, and then you have these missions. The missions are combat missions, scientific missions, influence missions, and they're based on the number of ships, the types of ships you have. So you get all these random elements, and then the entire board is filled with like 30 or 40 hexes. There's about I think 100 hexes total, and you only use about half of them, and they're all randomly organized every game. So you have this constant. Every game is completely different than the other. Then there's this random encounter deck where you might have 20 random encounters in a game, but there's like 150 random encounters possible. So that even makes it even more, you know, random as each game is. Each game plays completely differently.
Thank you, Brian's phone.
My phone agreed with me. Let me just
what?
So it's a very fun
Sorry,
game.
That
it's
was
yeah.
me.
It's a yeah. Thank you, phone, for talking. It's a very fun, exciting. If you like two player games, it's pretty awesome. Like I said, we haven't tried three player. I think it probably would work three player. I will say the starting point level, what they tell you to play, is probably a little bit biased to the Federation. But
very
once
biased
you Federation. Once you understand the game and you increase it in size, I think it balances out very quickly.
Yep.
But you know, you want to play the base size. Understand? There's a lot of mechanics going on. Like any two player game, there's a lot of mechanics. But just like War of the Ring, which is a great two player game, once you understand, it doesn't take a lot to learn. It's just very fundamentally flows efficiently.
Yep.
So that is my recommendation. It's a very sweet game. There, like I said, there's one expansion out already. Hopefully, this year we'll have another expansion. Out and it'll just keep growing.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Babylon 5.
Yay.
I think I had a high recommendation before we started recording, but I changed it and dismissed it, and now I can't remember what it was. So we already talked about this, but the first season is pretty mediocre. It's not bad, but it's very meh.
It's not Voyager bad.
This is kind of like if you like Parks and Rec. Like, the first season of Parks and Rec is mediocre, and you kind of just bully through it. But seasons 2 through 4 of Babylon 5 are my favorite 3 seasons of any TV show ever. It is amazing. The characters are amazing. The plot is huge. It's so well done. It's got Walter Koenig in there, you know, for the heck of it.
Yeah, nice.
Where season 1 of Parks and Rec is only 6 episodes, season 1 of the show is a full 20.
So, that is true.
I mean, but even later on, it does. You start to see some elements, but you really just got to shut the fuck up and sit through it to enjoy it, lady. Like, you're watching this going, okay, I knew full well I was going to hate it. And I was even told, you're going to fucking hate this first season. But you just fucking watch it because season 2 on is just...
Right. And you need to see it because so really much stuff is called back.
Okay.
I mean, it's not just like, oh, you need to understand how the universe works. Like, a lot of stuff is called back in 2, 3, and 4. Yeah. If you don't like the captain in season 1, don't worry.
nice.
He's very wooden. He's not the best actor ever. Don't worry too much about how much you like Commander Sinclair. But no, like just watch it. Just watch Babylon 5. If you're really hating season 1, I guess you could give up on it and just not get some of the callbacks. I wouldn't recommend it because, like I said, it's not like you're bullying through an F. Like, I think the first season of Parks and Rec is just bad. I don't think it's very good at all. I recommend people to literally just skip it. I think first season of Babylon 5 is mediocre, but it's not the worst thing
ever. It's still sci-fi TV. Elements is mediocre. It's enjoyable to watch.
It's like season 1 of Next Gen is not good.
Right.
It just is not good.
There are some episodes in season 1, but for the most part, yeah.
And that's the thing is, like, it's the same style of thing. There's some good episodes. It's not awful. It's watchable, but it's not the amazing thing you're going to be like, this isn't that good. And then season 2 is going to hit, and you're going to shit your pants and love it.
I feel like there's a lot of shitting the pants going on today.
Yeah, but this is going to be a happy pants shitting.
Oh, okay.
Oh, it feels so good. Oh, it's like juicy and chunky.
Oh.
What the fuck?
Wow.
It's not supposed to be juicy.
I eat too much.
Wow.
Or chunky.
For the drinking game. Wow.
Yep.
It's always chunky.
By the way, the villain's Khan.
Yeah. Just to make Andy's editing pointless.
No, I don't care. I thought it was going to be nice, and I realized we didn't have any spoilers. And then, you know, fuck it.
We ruined it.
You know what? Everybody knew anyway. Like, I was the only person who didn't know because I was careful to avoid it. You know, and people were mocking me about it.
I didn't know either.
Here's the thing with the movie is you find out, like, if you know your Star Trek universe, it's so obvious so early that it has to be him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As soon as he...
Like, I turned to the guy I was sitting next to, like, in the first 20 or 30 minutes of the movie, and I went,
Well, I would have fucking punched you.
I know.
I seriously would have punched you.
Well, no, I mean, it was...
It wasn't obvious and that early.
Yeah,
As soon as they got to the fight, he was super fight. And then
but that's halfway through the movie.
I guess.
It's not halfway through the movie.
The fight against the Klingons is not right at the beginning.
It's fairly early, but as soon as he shot up the stuff, it just felt very Khan. It just did. Everything about what he was doing.
I disagree.
I wonder if you had an inkling that it was going to be Khan anyway, until you were like...
Jeremy can see the future, people.
Maybe.
Deal with it.
Well, heard a rumor.
That was the big rumors going around when...
I actually hadn't
heard
a rumor about that.
Yeah.
Or, you know, anything else going on in the world.
It wasn't released with the Benghazi release, that's what it was.
Yeah. And starring in the role of Khan,
Benghazi.
We need to get Jeremy an ID just as Benghazi. He lives in the 52nd state.
I'm gonna not recommend something. I'm going to not recommend Les Miserables.
The movie? The musical?
The movie. And this is why. Like we watched half of it.
When?
Tonight.
This afternoon.
Oh, it's not. It's
and already, I think that we're going to watch the other half tomorrow. But the movie's too long, in my opinion. Because we're like an hour and 20 minutes in. And I was like, all right, this has got to be like act 3, right? No, we weren't even to the halfway mark.
No, I heard they sing too much in it.
And honestly, I think the musical is overrated in the first place. I saw it on, you know, theatrical, and I think it's meh.
Like they're doing a really good job, and the story is interesting, but, like, you get to a point where it's kind of like, you know, this is 30 years from when the movie started, and we're not halfway through yet, and he was kind of old to begin with. So, not really sure.
Who's the main actor in that one?
Hugh Jackman.
Not Hugh Laurie.
Hugh Laurie. Not Hugh Grant.
I want Hugh Laurie in a movie now.
My
three dads.
Specifically, wow. I'm going to not recommend Les Miserables. And in general, I think movies should just be shorter to begin with.
That's our second non-recommendation.
After your Hemlock Grove or whatever.
Yeah.
Some movies need to be long, or they're good because they're long.
So Kingdom of Heaven is a perfect length, and it's very long.
But most movies do not.
No, most movies do not.
And they don't need to be.
I did like the Onion article that praised Hugh Jackman's performance because he was very convincing as a man who can't act or sing. And like his character can't act or sing, and Hugh Jackman did a good job also not being able to act or sing.
You sure they weren't making fun of the other main actor?
Russell Crowe.
They made fun of Russell Crowe.
He's very wooden.
Hugh Jackman's actually...
Having watched it this afternoon, the first half, like Hugh Jackman is... If anything saves that movie, it's Hugh Jackman. Like all of the other actors and actresses, and I love...
Anne Hathaway.
Thank you.
I almost had a limp wristed thing.
I love Hugh Jackman.
I love Anne Hathaway.
I love things about her.
Yeah, and I'm like, super disappointed so far in her acting ability in this movie.
My favorite thing about Hugh Jackman is that in my head, his name is Hugh Ackman. And that's just how I hear it spelled in my head whenever people say Hugh Jackman.
He's also from Australia, so that's cool.
Yeah. Mr. Ackman.
Yeah.
It's Mr. Jackman.
Hugh Ackman.
Speaking of... Australian, they're making... Oh, I'm sorry. I almost mentioned a movie that's not from Australia. I'm not going to continue. I have a Jeremy. Well, that's New Zealand.
Yeah.
But no, there's another... Never mind. I'm just going to stop.
Do tell. We'll cut out the Australia part. We'll bleep the Australia
part.
There is
a movie... It's from that part of the world. But Australia. It's a Korean movie. The Host 2.
The Host 2. Oh, sure. Australia.
I know. That's why I stopped myself. See, I'm like Jeremy. I actually have a sensor in my brain that realizes when I'm going down a wrong road. Jeremy wasn't born with that part.
No, I don't have
but
that
But I'm
part.
Like, wait, wrong. Well, Australia does make a lot of fucking weird horror movies. I mean, that's
hard
to be
argue.
Fair. If you like look up Australian horror movies, you're like, what the fuck is happening? So
that, Undead, I think.
Yeah, Undead.
Undead was great. I love the character in Undead who keeps pulling, like every scene he'd pull out like two pistols and start shooting stuff. And then there's a scene where they're all completely nude and he still just whips out two pistols and starts shooting things. And the other characters are like,
Yeah. So Australians are.
It's a fun movie.
That was our double feature we did one night. I can't remember what the other movie was.
How can you remember what would you see after Undead?
Doesn't matter. You see Undead, you're...
Yeah.
But no.
Yeah.
But The Host 2 comes out in a few weeks or a month. I'm just very excited for that.
The Host.
Yeah.
I like that the monster's just out in the open immediately. They don't hide it or anything. Just, there it is. Have fun with it.
It's daytime.
Just running around noon, crowded area.
A big killer fish.
Yeah.
Sorry, what were we talking about? Oh, yeah, we were saying. And that's Les why Mis you shouldn't sucks. See Les Mis.
Yeah. Yes.
If Les Mis had a big killer fish running around, then you should
It'd
see
be
it.
It'd be better. It yes. would be better. All right, come back to me.
What? No,
come
you're
back
right
to you.
Oh, you want to round it up?
No,
so
I need to. I was
going
to steal Fleet
mine.
Captains.
All right, so
that's what I plan all week. No, I'll come up with something, but you go ahead, Andy. I need a moment to think.
Andy's the moment to think.
I'm always the moment to think. I know exactly what I want to recommend. What
are you going
to
recommend?
I don't want you to top this.
He can't top it. It's Jeremy. You never need to worry about him topping something.
All right. I don't know how many people at this table have seen it. I know there's one person because he went with me over to Milwaukee to watch it. Brotherhood of the Wolf.
Le Peste des Loups
is an amazing fucking movie, and you should watch it.
Yes.
And you should watch it in French.
You know how warning, never listen to, you can never unhear that stupidity.
Yeah. The English translation or the subtitles. Bad.
They got Hobbit and Costello.
Horrible.
Hobbit and Costello, by the way. I just want to clarify, I had to mock myself before
which is
someone
sort of
else
fitting,
registered
actually,
that.
For those guys, because that was so badly voice acted in the American.
Yeah, the American
dialogue.
Version is horrible. But it take place before the French Revolution.
Yep.
Basically, talking about the werewolf of Gévaudan, which is a mythical beast that terrorized a region. And this is kind of their take on that. And it is awesome.
That's one of my favorite scene transitions of any film ever, which is when it's panning across a nude woman and then her breasts fade into the mountainscape of the next scene.
You don't have to wait long into the movie for that.
No.
It's like right away at the beginning.
It's a French movie, so you know that's all okay now.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's easily one of the best like action oriented foreign films that I've seen.
I would agree.
If it was made in the US, it would probably be very similar.
Yeah, but I'd imagine.
It had some weird pacing now and then. I felt like a foreign film to me, just the way it was done. Not in a bad way, but I mean, I could tell it wasn't American because it's just a certain way.
The first time I saw it, parts of it made me think of The Last of the Mohicans.
Yes.
Which is an amazing film.
Which is also an amazing film. But, like, I got...
There's
like,
a new
to give you an idea if you've seen Last of the Mohicans.
There's a new cut of Last of the Mohicans that was released on DVD this past year.
Oh, really?
It's called, like, the Ultimate Cut or something. I haven't gotten around to buying it or seeing what it is. I'm very curious how different it is.
I saw, like, 80% of the movie, and I had to leave one day. And it took me, like, years to see the last
20%. Oh, the Last of the Mohicans?
They jumped through the waterfall, and I had to stop watching.
What the fuck?
So many great...
I had to leave. I was so mad. Like, it took me years to finally get around to seeing it again.
Yeah, that is really...
So many great little lines. How can you go west at a time like this? Well, it's easy. We go north and then we turn left real sudden. Like,
yeah, that movie just stands out. I love the soundtrack of that
Someday
movie
you and I are going to have a serious disagreement. It's a badass line.
But so anyway, it has that feel to it to me, which Last of the Mohicans, it was an American film, right? And it feels very similar. But the French parts of it are good as opposed to jarring, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I don't speak any French at all. But at the end of the film, as you're watching the film, as they're talking, you almost... For me, it almost
felt
like...
You feel like your hero.
You understand what they're talking about.
Well, some of it is just emotive. Like, the actual French dialogue is done so well and so much emotion.
And it doesn't hurt that the main character looks like Triple H.
A little bit.
Hunter Hearst Helmsley.
But it's
good recommendation.
It's a great movie.
Solid.
Yep.
I do know a little bit of French. I know Mon Petit Chouchou, which is a French term of endearment, which literally translated means
my
little cabbage.
Well, you do like that one movie.
I just realized that you guys were just talking about Les Mis.
Yeah, which is French.
Which is French, too. It just dawned on me. I just recommended another French film over their French thing.
Nice.
All right,
Jeremy.
Now, what's your recommendation, Jeremy?
Well, I haven't come up with anything, but it's going to be Last of the Mohicans, because it's fucking amazing.
God damn it.
No, I'm saying yours is so good that you should also see Last of the Mohicans if you like Andy's.
You could never get bored.
Spoiler alert, at the start of the movie, there's several Mohicans.
There are several, and then there is one.
It's easily one of Daniel Day-Lewis's best films.
Which
Daniel
is
Day-Lewis.
Saying a lot.
It is saying a lot.
He does so many good films.
Like, what's hilarious is, like, I looked after There Will Be Blood, I looked at his IMDb, and the dude's only been in, like, 7 movies, and he won Oscars for, like, 5 of them.
Yeah, because, like, every time he does a movie, he's like, I'm going to go research this role for a fucking year and become this role.
One of the movies he didn't get an Oscar for, he got fucking robbed, which was, he did not get an Oscar for Bill the Butcher.
Correct.
Which he deserved that.
Yeah. Which one was that?
Gangs of New York.
Yeah.
He was the villain in it.
Yeah.
The point is, he was awesome in it.
He was amazing.
It's a very long movie, warning. It's very, very good.
Any Daniel Day-Lewis movie will be good.
Will be good.
And his John C. Reilly.
Yeah. Back when he was a serious actor, before he and Will
Smith. He was in comedies, too.
Cellophane Man.
Man, I love John C.
From Chicago.
I loved him in Chicago. I love him in Boogie Nights.
I love the end of the when the father's all pissed off at the villain.
Yeah. Last Mohicans.
In which one?
Last Mohicans.
That last final scene.
I have a scene when, you know, there's this huge battle going on around them, and the girl is in trouble, like, 200 yards away.
Oh, yeah.
And so Daniel Day-Lewis just runs towards her and just, without paying any attention, kills, like, 8 guys
Several
on
people.
The way.
Just, like,
he just grabs a guy, cuts his throat,
just
keeps running, shoots
him,
a dude,
and just
keeps
like
running.
A death machine. Yeah.
Picking up muskets, firing them, dropping them.
They get within his personal bubble and die, literally without him noticing. He kills them with his peripheral vision while running to get to rescue the girl.
Yeah. Oh, it's so good.
Yeah.
And chicks dig it because it's all romantical and
stuff. It is romantical and shit.
Katie says it's almost Game of Thrones time, so we should stop talking.
We should wrap this up. Also means we've been talking for a long ass time.
We haven't talked for
a long time. We've been actually doing
pretty
good.
Yeah, because we started, it's probably hour half-ish.
Yeah, we've been about an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, that was my recommendation.
Or for the one guy, it's been 4 minutes.
Yes. We talked about War Machine for at least 6 minutes.
Talked about War Machine for a big chunk there.
We did,
just, and maybe that guy really likes Star Trek for that first hour is his favorite thing ever. He's going to come and say, I love Star Trek, talk more.
We'll find out.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll let us know.
Also, for our loyal fan base, I'll mention I did just fart.
Wow. All right.
So, on that note.
On that note.
No.
Wah, wah.
Wah, wah.
Okay, love you. Bye.